It's wonderful how the American people display their sportsmanship.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night, whenever you are listening to this. This is the Often Daunted Podcast, and welcome to the 100th episode of the Often Daunted Podcast. I am your host, Burke White, and if this is your first time listening to the show, I appreciate the hell out of you giving this show a chance. And hopefully we give you something worth listening to here in the off season. You know, it's a little tougher, but we make it work here with these weekly episodes. For all of you who have, you know, come along, joined, started following the show, wherever that was, whenever that was that you started following, I appreciate you for just coming on board and continuing to follow. If you haven't subscribed to the show already, yes, this is the part where I ask that. Please feel free to do so. And if you do enjoy the show thoroughly, please feel free to leave a 5-star review. If you hate the show, forget I said anything. All right, on this, the 100th episode of the Often Daunted Podcast. That's quite alarming when I just think about beginning this hobby like 100 episodes later. It's pretty surreal actually being here. It's awesome to see the connections I've made, the shows I've been able to go on, you know, make some friends out here in the Big Ten streets. And it's just been a great time. And I appreciate all of you guys for listening. Just me rant into a microphone. It has become my favorite hobby. And I love the process of it. For this 100th episode, we will have the 2024 Daunty Awards. That will be the segment for this episode. And as is the case every episode, that segment will be preceded by both the Indiana news and your Big Ten Conference news, the national news out there. And after that segment, what would usually be the Hoosier History Hit this week is going to be an Indiana current event tidbit, the Indiana legal system truly making history this week. So yeah, we'll talk about that in lieu of a Hoosier History Hit, and then we'll get you on out of here as we always do. Thank you so much again. And yeah, it's going to be a fun episode, a century's worth of episodes. Pretty crazy. You know, not the time, but like 100. Pretty, yeah, it's a personal big deal. pretty crazy being here. Pretty crazy that I've given that much time. But I hope the show is certainly better here at episode 100 than it was at 1. So let's get right into it. Let's get on to that Indiana news. Biggest news of the week, no surprise here. Langdon Hatton, come on down.
Indiana, our Indiana, Indiana, we're all for you.
Langdon Hatton joining the cause for the Indiana Hoosiers this coming season. Mike Woodson gets the piece that people could point to and say, and what about that? You know, he went out and got the shooter, Luke Good. He went out and got the backcourt in both Miles and Kanan. He went out and got the big man, Umar Ballo. With the addition of Langdon Hatton, he has added some absolutely, you know, I don't know how needed it is based on what lineups I'm hoping we could see next season, based on, yeah, the rotations we could see next season. But it's such a big insurance piece, and just the depth there, in my opinion, was the only thing you could point to and say, what about that? Mike Woodson was able to address it, and this team is loaded. Langdon Hatton, I appreciate you taking lesser minutes than you could have elsewhere to just, you know, play a role for this team. At 6'10", 240, he could have taken his talents elsewhere. Anybody wants size. Yeah, what his only experience is with Bellarmine, who is just trying to prove themselves at the D1 level. But last season, he was able to go 48% from the floor for an average of 10.5 points per game. That was on 27.8 minutes per game. Nothing crazy, but we don't need him to be anything crazy on this team. Honestly, if we're in a tight one, I'm really hoping his minutes might be limited to next to nothing. Like, we want our big guys, and hopefully people are telling me we want to see McKenzie. Yeah, we want to see McKenzie get some work at the four. So, yeah, with Luke Good as well being able to work at the four, with the depth we'll have at the three and two with Bryson and Trey. Yeah, Langdon Hatton's minutes will be hard to come by, and that's what it should be. I hope that's the role that he was pitched. I hope that's the role that he really finds himself in, because that means everybody else is just operating flawlessly, and there hasn't been an injury to that front court. He honestly adds some shooting from the backup big position that could prove to come in handy. But really just hoping that this is the ultimate insurance play. Utilizing the talent already apparent in our front court for the most part throughout the season, just to have Langdon Hatton on this team, break in case of emergency, it's a nice, comforting piece to have on this roster. The roster doesn't have the size, if God forbid, a big man have to take some minutes next season. For, like, whoever's minutes would spike, Malik or Balos, if somebody in that front court were to go down, it's a nice insurance piece, this Langdon Hatton pickup. And I appreciate this team for getting it done. This Indiana staff made it a priority to lock down the guys they had that they wanted and needed for next season. They then made it a priority to go out and get the pieces they knew they needed, like the prime position pieces they needed. And they did so great. Honestly, really great, considering I think a lot of these guys, if they just play the waiting game, are going to be... the market could have been a lot crazier for both of those guys. And yeah, I appreciate that this team, you know, they made them a priority. They went out there and got them. Going out there, getting Langdon Hatton, just it's a nice comforting piece to see on that depth chart. Indiana's roster, in my opinion, is now set. Absolutely set. And the best part, we're set as is, but we also have a scholarship left to play with. After shooting 50% from three the season prior, Langdon Hatton shot from three at a 33% clip this season. But while I did bring up those 10.5 points, he was also able to average a total of 7.1 rebounds. Again, against lesser competition, but a nice role player should we need it. In other sports news, congrats to Indiana men's golf, 8th in the NCAA tournament. I feel like everybody's always saying golf is on the rise, but it truly feels on the rise right now. And nice to see Indiana's getting their name out there when just there seems to be so many eyes on it. You know, of course, that's at the pro level, but good to see Indiana men's golf find some success in this year's NCAA tournament. This last weekend was Mike Woodson and company's one chance of the spring to get out there and do some on-the-road recruiting. And the two major events were both the Nike EYBL in Westfield, Indiana, and the Adidas 3SSB series in Texas. Big weekend, with this being the only opportunity to get out there during the spring, get face-to-face with these guys. And yeah, looks like Indiana was set on sending the staff in force to both of those locations. This week, it was announced that Indiana will play Eastern Illinois on Sunday, November 10th this year. Nice to see the schedule start trickling out here. You know, I wouldn't mind a final release, but of course, a few more big-name non-cons would be pretty awesome to see. That being said, this Eastern Illinois game gives Indiana an opportunity. A lot of last season's tournament worries and ultimately the declining of an invite to the tournament, this gives Indiana an opportunity to flex its muscle, you know, come out different than we did last season. Eastern Illinois is like a 300 plus ranked team, and with the Hoosiers winning this one last in 2015 to the tune of an 88-49 final score, with Indiana looking to pay this Eastern Illinois team $100,000 to come into Assembly Hall, if we are paying them $100,000 to get their tails beat, let's make sure to beat their tails accordingly. This is an opportunity for Mike Woodson to come out and say, hey, this season's different. This team is going to, they're going to make the numbers work for them. They know what they need to do to get to the NCAA tournament. They know what they need to do to have a good seating in that tournament, and they are going to go absolutely wallop teams like Eastern Illinois. So while, yeah, you would like to be reporting on just a huge non-conference opponent, the thing is that Indiana fans need to see the opportunities in these games as well, because I think that perspectively, Indiana fans should have a perspective on why these games are so important at times. And it's on Mike Woodson and staff to realize that, to go out there and absolutely decimate an Eastern Illinois side, because Indiana should absolutely decimate an Eastern Illinois side, and make sure that all the numbers say that Indiana decimated an Eastern Illinois side. That's what needs to happen. The Indiana transfer ranking, according to 24/7 Sports, was released after the addition of Langdon Hatton, and currently the Hoosiers are sitting at first in the Big Ten, with no one after them, currently retaining the talent we already had on this roster. So while, yeah, Indiana's talent is above and beyond the next in the Big Ten, it is. It's a matter of what can this staff, what can these guys get out of each other? And I have to just pray that it's good enough, because I truly believe it's good enough. This team can really get some. We're going hardware hunting this season. Like, it's happening. I'm so excited. And yeah, I'm diving in head first with this squad. This roster's too loaded for me not to just absolutely fall in love. That, you know, that ranking good for first in the Big Ten, that is currently good for second in the nation, with Arkansas currently at the top. But like I said with the others, Arkansas definitely wasn't retaining the prior talent they had. And that has to be so important. I was on the Big Ten huddle with JR, and I was discussing how, yeah, you can look at Indiana's transfer class and be like, well, that is impressive. But what was more impressive was what Indiana was able to retain and not even like leave up for debate of like if they're going to test the waters. And if you're talking transfer portal classes, yeah, they might have a like 0.004 whatever score class better than us, but Arkansas has like one player returning from that previous team. I know USC definitely does. Like those guys, I brought up the show to say this. On the show, I was just saying how that stuff is important. Like, those guys have the experience of not only playing in that program, but living in that community. Like, bringing those guys onto campus, they need somebody to pull them into the fold. And that's not even just in basketball sense. That's just, like, in social sense, in, you know, academic sense. It's nice to have those guys retained. And, yeah, it's going to pay dividends that Indiana was able to lock down the guys they needed to as quickly as they did. Also, from 24/7 Sports, Carter Bonds released his top 10 Big Ten transfers just this weekend. And you go through the list of the 10, you have to scroll all the way down to 5 for the Indiana players to start popping up. But Indiana has 3 of the top 5 players, according to 24/7 Sports, who are committing to play in the Big Ten. Number 5 being combo guard Miles Rice. And of Miles Rice, Carter says, Miles Rice was one of college basketball's best stories from the 23-24 season. The Hodgkin's lymphoma survivor shined on the hardwood after completing his cancer recovery and was a catalyst behind Washington State snapping a 15-year NCAA tournament drought. Rice, as a third-year freshman, averaged 14.8 points, 3.1 rebounds, 3.8 assists, and 1.6 steals per game and set the WSU record in essentially every major statistical category. He is a major pickup for Indiana ahead of a critical season. At number 4, he had Kenan Carlisle. Indiana back-to-back in the top 10, no big deal. Of Kenan Carlisle, he said Indiana picked up a potential leading scorer and former blue-chip recruit Kenan Carlisle, who missed the first month of his freshman season at Stanford, but was an immediate impact contributor for the Cardinal once activated. He averaged 11.5 points in just 25.6 minutes of action and showed that he can score from anywhere on the floor. Carlisle could be a primary ball handler for the Hoosiers if needed, but is just as electric off the ball. His shot-creating ability will be the best on the Indiana roster. I mean, how much is that saying, considering just how difficult shot-creating seemed to have been for this Indiana roster? But yeah, that's just glowing remarks from Carter here for Kenan. And the last thing Carter had to say of the Indiana transfers was, you know, when he was discussing Umar Ballo, who he had ranked at number 1. That was number 1 over Great Osabor, who, yeah, we'll talk about him later. But of Umar Ballo at number 1, Carter Bond had said, stars at the center position were the most highly coveted commodities on the transfer market this offseason, and Umar Ballo is the biggest name and brightest star among the big men in the portal. He instantly raises Indiana's ceiling for the upcoming season as one of the best players in the Big Ten. The former Arizona star and Gonzaga signee averaged a double-double last season and is a beast on both ends of the floor, who, when he is at his best, goes through stretches wherein he appears unstoppable. Unstoppable stretches inbound for our boy Ballo in Assembly Hall. You know, you love to hear it. This Indiana team is giving us, this Indiana program is giving us a hell of a lot to be excited about. Carter Bonds, top 10 transfers of the Big Ten portal season, definitely speaks to that. And lastly, this isn't Hoosiers in the NBA because we just saw the New York Knicks and OG get bounced by our guys. But this is Hoosiers at the Combine. It's all Kalel, baby. It's all Kalel. Apparently, Kalel set the highest combine score all time with a 100.00. Now that is a combine score from analyst Nick Kalinowski, and that just goes to give scores to all of his measurables. And yeah, our guy just measured off the charts. His official measurements, I think they're just fun to share because you never really know what he can really do prior to the combine. His standing reach was a 9'4.5". His weight was 230 pounds. Dang, got pretty beefy. Good for him. His wingspan was 7'4.5". And as far as the physical tests, of course, he absolutely just killed him because he's an athletic freak of nature. With all the due respect, like he's physically gifted to an extent that he runs better than anybody that tall should. And yeah, his physical tests absolutely spoke to that. And following it, just his impressive combine workouts, he had a lot to say about Mike Woodson and the Indiana staff to Andy Katz, where he had said, I feel like Coach Woodson and his staff have prepared me a lot, especially every day in practice, pushing me to go harder, not letting me slack off. It's just every day getting on to me, just helping me get better because they know where my potential can be and where I can go. Every day they pushed me to keep going, to be able to get in my comfort zone and just be able to play through my mistakes. And that's what the whole coaching staff did. And they allowed me to just be comfortable on the court and play through my mistakes. Honestly, pretty awesome. Like, this is Burke speaking now on a pretty awesome, you know, ricochet shot at Dana Altman, who at the slightest sign of a Kalel Ware mistake was so quick to bench him that Kalel had to leave. Yeah, he didn't straight up go out there and say, yeah, he managed my personality and, you know, what it took to get the best out of me better than Oregon most certainly did. He definitely didn't say that, but I read that as that in so many words. Kalel Ware had this to say at the Combine. He had said on just the development team at Indiana, Kalel Ware had said, every day at practice, I was being pushed to go past the limit. if there was like a wall in front of me, Coach Walsh always told me to go right through it. Keep pushing, keep going. Don't stop at that wall. Don't let that wall stop you. And if you go past that wall, life will be great. You know, Indiana teaching you to be comfortable with the uncomfortable. Keep pushing, keep pushing. I love it. Big news with the Langdon Hatton commitment. But other than that, we, you know, with our guy in the combine, we can talk about that. Always in the offseason, for the most part, no news regarding your Indiana Hoosiers is mostly good news. And yeah, light bit of Indiana news for you here this week. Let's get on to the conference news, the national news around the country. I just said national news around the country. That's pretty redundant. First bit of news is the NIL Vegas tournament. Per the Las Vegas Review-Journal, a new college basketball tournament in Las Vegas during Thanksgiving week is close to being finalized. It will include 8 teams, and each participant would receive $1 million towards its NIL collective, according to multiple reports. The champion could receive as much as an extra $1 million. CBS Sports reported the event, which would be called the Players Era Festival, and it would be played at any or all three of MGM's venues, T-Mobile Arena, the MGM Grand Garden Arena, and the Michelob Ultra Arena. At this time, apparently Alabama, Creighton, Houston, Notre Dame, Oregon, Rutgers, San Diego State, and Texas A&M are reportedly committed to play in the event. This week, immediately after hearing their spot on my, you know, personal way too early, way too biased preseason Big Ten power rankings at number 17 out of the Big Ten's 18 next season, Washington made a commitment to the basketball program with the insane announcement that Great Osabor out of Utah State has committed to Washington and has $2 million in NIL lined up from them. This all reported by Jonathan Givony. You know, he didn't report the part where they all did this because I ranked them at number 17 last week on the Often Daunted podcast, but he reported the $2 million for Great Osabor to go to Washington. And immediately reading that news, I just thought, for $2 million, I would need Great Osabor to be Hall of Famer Osabor. You know, Great isn't going to be good enough. For $2 million, I need Hall of Famer. Last season, Great Osabor averaged 17 points on 57.7% shooting, hauling in 9 rebounds a game. You know, he was able to get it done in the Mountain West. I just don't see him producing at the same rate in the Big Ten. He does work in the paint, and he does his work in the paint, and it's at 6'8". It just won't be as easy down there for him in this conference as it was in the Mountain West, just based on opponent size alone. And this signing for $2 million, or yeah, whatever marketing incentives, whatever that all entails and means, the $2 million number is out there. And this just makes me appreciate getting the guys we wanted so early. Give a more, you know, go out there, identify the guys you want to address your team's issues with. Make them a more than reasonable, you know, more than gracious offer. And don't even risk desperation causing the market to spike through the roof. Another team who probably paid out the teeth this last week was Vanderbilt. You know, the latest commitment in the latest to leave the Big Ten, A.J. Hogarth, has decided to commit to Vanderbilt for next season. And of his commitment, of course, he was asked, oh, what was the incentivizing factor was for Vanderbilt. And of that, A.J. Hogarth had said, I mean, people are going to make it out to what they want to make it out to because of the way college basketball has changed now with NIL. But for me, the biggest thing was definitely the fit because I got one more shot at this. Wanted to give myself the best opportunity to capture my dreams. And so this next stop was very strategic for me and just trying to get to my dreams. Okay, because Vanderbilt is definitely just sending dudes to the league. It's so funny. Dude, just don't even address it. Just don't even address it. Another Big Ten transfer out there. Still offering his talents to those looking to offer is Mawat Magg, the ex-Rutgers, you know, lockdown defender. He has gotten his list down to 5, that including BYU, San Diego State, Clemson, Southern Miss, and most interesting of all, because it would mean he's going back to Rutgers to play this season, would be him committing to USC. So we'll see where he ends up, and yeah, you'll be sure to hear it here. News this week regarding Terrence Shannon from Todd Fuhrer with CBS Chicago. University of Illinois basketball star Terrence Shannon Jr. will face trial on charges he sexually assaulted a woman in Kansas last fall. CBS affiliate WCIA-TV reports a Kansas judge on Friday determined there was sufficient probable cause for the case against Shannon to go to trial. His trial date was tentatively set for June 10th. The NBA draft is scheduled for June 27th, so this will be interesting to see if this can wrap up in a quick enough manner to not affect that for Terrence Shannon. That being said, if he's deemed guilty, then I certainly hope it affects his draft day. Currently, I think he is mocked on some as a lottery pick, a early second in others. But it'll be interesting to see how this shakes out if that trial's really coming down to the wire before this draft. Now for some news regarding the Combine. Five players from the G League camp showed enough at the G League camp to be invited to the NBA Combine this week, and it was great to see Boogie Ellis listed among those. You know, the Big Ten's own Boogie Ellis, USC. I just thought, you know, Bronny's invite to that NBA Draft Combine, when Boogie Ellis was like the major producing factor on that team, probably drove him nuts. Probably drove him up a wall. Just good to see that he got the invite. Other guys in that G League camp that were denied the, call back to the NBA Draft Combine were, guys of note to mention, were Jaden Ledee and Caleb Love. Coleman Hawkins apparently seemed to be impressing execs, as the Java Men 1 podcast I listened to regarding Illini basketball reported that the Mavs have really been taking to his performance throughout the combine. He played very well in the scrimmages. I think he had 17 points in like 20 minutes in one of them, and he seems to be playing himself into some serious second round consideration. Luke Akinsola of NBA.com had this to say regarding it: this second team All Big Ten performer has an interesting situation. He can exercise his extra year of college eligibility or stay in the draft after his week in Chicago. A quintessential pick and pop forward at 6'10", Hawkins displayed robust offensive skills and finished with 17 points in his final scrimmage. Hawkins finished around the rim consistently and showed his mobility and passing ability all week. The lone concern regarding Hawkins' game may be on defense. Such an interesting case with Coleman Hawkins, because he stands to be drafted. He will be paid less than I believe like a UNC would pay him. There are those that argue, yeah, of course, he's already old enough that you're not going to not draft him if you were going to draft him this year with 1 year of age. But it's just such a wild time we live in that these guys can be like, nah, I'd rather not get drafted. I think I'm going to go back to college. It's crazy. Another guy really, dancing if he's going to come back or not right now is Cam Christie. Right now it's looking like a mid-second round for him. So it's interesting to see with him and Coleman both. They'll both be able to possibly make more money in college than they would in the NBA. Those are two guys that definitely that's in play for. And honestly, another guy who might be there is Peyton Sanford. I'm disappointed. You know, Peyton Sanford, apparently he's doing well enough in the combine. Yeah. He ended this thing before it could really even get to the level where I wanted it to. Peyton Sanford was my just favorite for the Big Ten villain of the year. And I was really looking forward to the legacy of villainry he could have left. And it's a shame to see him take his talents to the draft here. I bet he's going to make opposing NBA fan bases very angry. Last guy worth bringing up in that combine is Zach Edey. Zach Edey, got to give it to him. Out-athleted Donovan Clingan by pretty much every measurable of this combine. Really impressed with how he moved. You know, it is lumbering when compared to Kalel, but you can't compare him to Kalel. I mean, even though they probably are playing somewhat, the same position. All in all, just a really promising showing from Zach Edey. I got to give him credit for it. Edey did well at the combine and really put out a solid showing. And absolutely insane that he has that 7'11" wingspan. All right, enough of Zach Edey. After this little word for myself, we'll get into the Daunties. The Often Daunted podcast is brought to you by me, Burke White. It's just a labor of love. I love putting it out. I love creating the show. And I just love mixing it up with you guys after listening and giving your feedback and all that. It's been awesome getting to meet so many members of just different communities that I don't think I'd have really came into contact if I hadn't taken up this hobby 100 episodes ago. I appreciate you all for giving me the listen, and if you haven't, give me a follow at Often Daunted across all socials. Yeah, if you haven't subscribed to the show, please feel free to do so as well. Thank you so much, and let's get on to the Daunties. All right, welcome to the 2024 Daunty Awards. Now, the Daunty Awards are entirely subjective. Yeah, I made them up for the year. Just going through, giving a few different awards out this year to members of the Big Ten. You know, of course, we're going to focus on Indiana. Just a dumb sports podcast award segment, as most dumb sports podcasts do. So here's the one I'm obliged to give you a year. And I wanted to give it on the 100th episode. It's a 100th episode calls for occasion, and this occasion is the Daunties. Thank you for tuning in. Let's get right into it with the nominations for the We Just Won a Football Title, So Screw a Basketball Season, Juwan Howard Award. And these are just, events, different things that coaches do where you're just like, yo, are they watching their basketball? Does anybody have eyes on this program right now? And those three nominees for this year, oddly enough, all the same guy. Juwan's handling of the Doug McDaniel fiasco, number one. Your second nomination is Phil Martelli. Can coach, but with me right next to him. Absolutely crazy. And the last, the third, is Juwan Howard for Juwan v. Sanderson, in which they got into a scuffle, or they didn't, or who knows the truth. All I know is something was reported, and something had to be addressed by Juwan. and your winner for this year's We Just Won a Football Title, So Screw a Basketball Season, Juwan Howard Award, is Juwan Howard for his handling of the Doug McDaniel fiasco. Yeah, dude, we all knew you were violent. You were going to fight Sanderson. You, Phil Martelli can coach, but with me right next to him, that is pretty crazy. But, you know, you were going through heart surgery. We'll give you the benefit of the doubt. The handling of the Doug McDaniel fiasco, insane. Just program, again, it's the We Just Won a Football Title, So Screw a Basketball Season. If the AD had to come down and say that, like, the only catalyst for any source of production on our team was academically ineligible, guess what? We need to find an AD who doesn't report that, who doesn't do that. Absolute. You know, you can't give this to Juwan as much as you do just the Michigan administration for allowing this to happen. Only being able to play away games, absolutely crazy. He deserved the award for this. Now it's time for the Will Sheehy Sixth Man of the Year Award. It's my Sixth Man Award. You know, and with my Sixth Man Award, a Sixth Man can end the year as a starter. You know, if he proved enough as that Sixth Man that he earned the right to, you can't count those guys out. When the roster was initially assembled, one of my guys absolutely was the Sixth Man, but situations called for him to step up to the occasion, and he did just that. So my three Sixth Men of the Year nominations were Mason Gillis, because yeah, I have to. Purdue was a wagon in the conference, and throw someone on there for them. Then there was C.J. Wilcher, coming off the bench, providing some shooting. Just, you can never have enough of it. Looks like he's taking it elsewhere, but he was nominated for my Sixth Man of the Year this year. But the third nomination and my winner, I'm just going to say it, Juwan Gary. Juwan Gary absolutely was my Sixth Man of the Year for his ability to step up to the occasion whenever called for by Fred Hoiberg. When Alec went down with injury, Juwan slid into the starting lineup, then they kept him there because he's a dog and does whatever is needed for his team, and there was no way they could take him out. He's a tough dude, and just looks like a guy that you can just plug into a program, and he's going to bring it. He's going to bring it every time. I respect the hell out of dudes like that. That's why he's getting the award this year. The next award will be the Big Ten Merc of the Year. This going to a transfer who absolutely came in, absolutely did his job. You know, of course, they were paid a handsome sum to come in and make a difference, and they did just that. Your nominees for Big Ten Merc of the Year, Lance Jones. Lance Jones came into Purdue, gave them a piece that they desperately needed, that they had lacked in seasons prior, and absolutely was worth whatever Purdue paid for. Next is AJ Storr. AJ Storr came into Wisconsin and immediately became just the entire engine for that squad. And the last nominee, Khalil Ware. Guess what? You'll be shocked by who I picked to win this. It's definitely Khalil Ware in my book. Khalil Ware was the most reliable piece of this Indiana team when the whole question on Khalil when entering the season was, does this guy have the motor? Does this guy love basketball? Khalil Ware not only proved he loved basketball, he proved that he can play it at an extremely high caliber. Most of this season's, the moments of joy for the Indiana fan base this season were largely a result of whatever Khalil Ware was doing. Yeah, he's a merc, but boy, he was our merc, and I loved him for it. Now it's time for Comeback of the Year. Your nominations for Often Daunted's Comeback of the Year. Kyle Flopkowski, for just absolutely being assaulted and being able to come back the very next game. He had to have, like, MRIs and had to be really checked out, but they ultimately were like, yo, nothing's wrong. Get back out there. Absolute soldier for going through that adversity. Kyle Flopkowski. Your second nomination is Caitlin Clark. Caitlin Clark, much like Kyle Flopkowski, absolutely getting hit-sticked by a ravenous Ohio State fan, and glad to see she was able to get up and continue just a historic college season. Your third nomination, there are four of this one. Your third nomination is Doug McDaniel. His first away game back from away game only suspensions. You know, he must have did the work, you know, really earned the right to play both home and away. So again, I just wanted to use this opportunity to, again, just, we can't forget that Michigan did that. That is a wild way to handle a suspension. And the fourth nominee, and my winner, the winner, I'm just going to go ahead and say it again. No drum rolls this year, guys. Sorry, I'm not doing it. It's too dumb to sit here and record over and over, and you hear it 14 times. No thanks. Miles Rice, 2 years out of play, redshirting his freshman year, then, you know, cancer. Came back to win freshman of the year after dropping 14.8 points per game and adding 3.8 assists to that. He led freshmen in most categories in production as far as the Pac-12 goes, and having done so after real adversity, not, you know, just not going to class and faking a flop during a storm court. Like, this is real adversity, and I'm so pumped that, just because I just look at somebody who can handle that, somebody who's been through that, that is a personality that on face value, I'm taking that guy in. Yeah, a tough son of a gun to return from cancer in the manner in which he did. Miles Rice, So happy to have you on board, and your winner of Comeback of the Year. The often daunted Bad Look of the Year, your first nomination, is the entire Illinois fan base for Terrence Shannon's ludicrous standing O timeout introduction when introduced back into play coming off the bench after a judge had deemed he could play until the trial was settled. The standing ovation, we don't even know the extent to which a bad look this could be, but the fact that they've set themselves up for, that they've allowed themselves to be open to possibly, you know, this looking really bad should things go wrong for Terrence Shannon on June 10th. The second nominee was Doug McDaniel, academics. You know, the follow-up statement he would make on Instagram following his academic, you know, suspension. Also just bad look, dude. Just bad look. Your third nominee is Xavier Johnson for flagrance galore and the lack of fire in this team at times. Fair or unfair, if you can't point to the captains, if you can't point to the six-year captain, who can you point to? Yeah, of course, the head coach, but also. And the flagrance, like the run of flagrance when he returned was so upsetting. Just a bad look. Still love Xavier. But. And the fourth nominee and the winner is Terrence Shannon, obviously. Guilty, not guilty, whatever. Bad look. Nothing good happens in Lawrence, Kansas. All of you young basketball playing men out there, nothing good happens there. Here are your nominations for the High IQ Scrappy Gym Rat Shitty Player Comp of the Year. And Jonathan Wasserman with Bleacher Report had for Khalil Ware Brook Lopez. I don't know why that's shitty, but it just doesn't register for me. I don't see it. The other nominations for this are Reed Shepard, Kirk Heinrich, Dalton Connect, Wally Zerbiak, Pele Larson, Christian Braun, Peyton Sanford, Sam Hauser. Stop me when you see a pattern. And I'm going to go ahead and give this one to Reed Shepard for Kirk Heinrich. Like, I don't like the Khalil Ware Brook Lopez comparison, but the Reed Shepard Kirk Heinrich one is truly off-putting to me. And yeah, that is the winner. You know, that pattern that I had brought up. Cooper Flagg will truly put the NBA player comp bigwigs to the test. We'll see what kind of player comp. You can't just compare him to Larry Bird, guys, because he's going to be a generational small forward white dude. Can't do it. Watch them do it. He throws down super hard, you know, just like Larry Bird did. That's already Vegas odds to win the High IQ Scrappy Gym Rat Shitty Player Comp of the Year for 2025 for sure. Now it's kind of a recognition award. So there's not nominees. It's more of just like a, you know, it happens once in a while, but there's an award that needs to be go to this, you know, and that is the Throne Award. A moment that we can take. Spin Zone as iconic that, you know, actually kind of sucked and was a bad look initially. And the Throne Award goes to the Mtako incident. You know, yeah, Mackenzie Mbako's introduction to Bloomington was testy with the Taco Bell incident. That being said, stayed out of trouble, had it put out a great season, became part of this community, and water under the bridge, man. We can spin zone this. Let's get some Taco Bell endorsements going. Let's, you know, I'll have a good laugh about this. Let's take the lessons learned from the incident. But now we can kind of spin it and, Throne Award goes to the Mtako incident. And if you didn't know, Throne refers to the chair throwing, which it has been spun as iconic now. But initially, dude, not a great look if your coach is throwing chairs. If another coach was throwing chairs, we would be like, bad look. We would. My other solo nomination award, you know, just have to give it out because there was a team this year that deserved it. Was the Chris Collins, they've won how many award for expectations beaten? And that's Minnesota. Minnesota. Ben Johnson did a hell of a lot this year to have the Gophers heading into the right direction. And if it weren't for them losing the entirety of this roster other than Dawson Garcia to the portal, Minnesota would be set up very nicely for the future. What he was able to do this last season was surprising, genuinely. And Minnesota really did the most to beat the expectations on the season. Now for your Big Ten Freshman of the Year. Your three nominees. First off is Cam Christie. Again, part of that Minnesota roster that really, really put some good play out there this season and took some teams by surprise. Took him a while to get his legs going, but then he started to show that outside range and showed the kind of production he can bring to a Big Ten program. I mean, I think it's sad to see him go. Another year at Minnesota would have been fun. Your second nominee was Owen Freeman. I think he beat, like, Jared Sullinger's record for Big Ten Freshman of the Weeks. Just an extremely reliable piece. Yeah, I mean, the official co-Big Ten Freshman of the Year. But he was co because of the third nominee, Mackenzie Mbako. Officially co-Big Ten Freshman of the Year. The often daunted Big Ten Freshman of the Year as well. He did it to an extent down the line. that they couldn't not make him co-Big Ten Player of the Year. They had a guy who was winning record Big Ten Freshman of the Years. You would think that's safe to assume that would stand to mean that, you know, he's got a Big Ten Freshman of the Year coming his way. He was Player of the Week most weeks. No, McKenzie Mbako just played that incredibly down the line. You couldn't not give him a share of that award. And yeah, I'm so pumped we have that piece. As far as transfer portal wins go, I list McKenzie Mbako as probably the highest, because I think he's a guy who could have tested the waters if he didn't feel comfortable in Indiana and he thought there was better opportunity out there. And I think there was teams that would, there are plenty of teams that would be willing to pay McKenzie Mbako a gross amount, even more so than maybe we are, even if we have a gross amount already in his hands. He could have really done it, and I'm just so grateful we have this guy coming back. It sets up for an incredible year for McKenzie Mbako. Now for the Tom Pritchard's White Tee Award. This award gets given to a guy that delivers an inherently unexpected big-time moment. This year with the White Tees going to Anthony Leal. The award's a reference to Tom Pritchard's dunk against Minnesota. Absolutely ludicrous dunk, and he had no business doing it after just the years we've seen him play basketball. So this year's Tom Pritchard's White Tee goes to Anthony Leal. That prime moment goes to Anthony Leal for beating Penn State. Time dwindling, and of all people to get the offensive board for the Hoosiers after Malik Renew missed the attempt to take the lead, it's Anthony Leal on the receiving end of that rebound, and he's just in prime position to put it back. Absolutely awesome to see Anthony deliver such a moment for the Hoosiers. Came at a far more key moment than Tom Pritchard's dunk. Wasn't as just outlandish and unexpected as Tom Pritchard's dunk, but nonetheless deserving of the White Tee this season. Now for the I just cringed so hard I threw my back out moment of the year. First up is this is dating me. This is probably painting me in a picture, but I'm officially old and these awards are subjective, and I have to put any ounce of social media I've seen from Jared McCain on this. Those of you that just say, hey, he's being himself, don't tell me doing factory issued dances and fads and bullshit is dudes being themselves. I'm done yelling at this cloud. Yourself can't be a carbon copy of a TikTok dance. And I know I'm in the wrong here, but I can't help it. My show, my nominees, one of my nominations, Jared McCain's social media. Oh, yeah, that one dates me again, and I fully know that. Second nomination, Greg Doyle. Greg Doyle with the Caitlin Clark incident. Yep. Definitely a nominee. And the third was Brian's head coach, Jared Grasso's DUI body cam. It's just so uncomfortable. Oh, just so uncomfortable watching that. And your winner is Greg Doyle. It's truly, I mean, it's like one of the largest talked about Indiana sports stories in a while. This thing has been dragged nationally. And yeah, that moment is definitely the winner of the I just cringed so hard I threw my back out moment of the year. I've talked about it enough here. That is going to be my last mentioning of that incident. While we're talking low light moments, we have to hand out the Golden Dookie of the year. And this was the moment of the year that is just the absolute worst. Quite a few nominees for you. Going an entire game scoreless from deep when we lost to number 10 Illinois. Close game, but absolutely sucked. I mean, that those points from deep would have made a difference. Most definitely with how tight that game was. And going just 0-for from deep is so embarrassing. Second listed is Indiana's run of flagrant fouls in just the biggest gauntlet of the season. Those were times for key games against huge opponents where some big wins could have been real resume boosters, and we're out here flagrant fouling. Your third nomination, Madison beatdown that resulted in 20 straight losses in Madison. Another low light of the season for sure. Your fourth nominee is kind of a conjoined one, Auburn and UConn. When we played them both neutral site games, this Indiana team neutral site, that is something that absolutely needs addressed by the Indiana staff come next season. This team doesn't need time to gel. They need to come out and make statements against teams like Auburn and UConn when they can. Both those games, getting so hyped for those huge non-conferences, only for them to fall as flat as they did. Absolutely embarrassing. And the last nominee, and my pick, yeah, it's the winner. The Golden Dookie winner for 2024 is the historic loss in Bloomington to Purdue and Edie. Fletcher and Lance Jones. Purdue, Edie, Fletcher, and Lance Jones smiling like they knew who Braden's crush was after they decimated us in front of the Indiana, you know, backdrop. It sucked. That game sucked. The internet sucked for like 3 days after it. Everything sucked. Now for the Often Daunted's Big Ten One of One Award. this just going to the 101 for the season. Like the guy who just, if there was a guy in this conference this season who there will not be another guy like, it's this award goes to him, and that is Zach Edey. Unquestionably Zach Edey, the size, the mobility. Hey, I have to give him the award if he is objectively the Big Ten one of one this year. And yeah, of course he is. He was a two-time National Player of the Year. The other nominations I had were Terrence Shannon and Khalil Ware. Khalil, just for, you know, his shooting ability at his height and just the finesse he plays with. Not many Big Ten centers doing that, doing what he did as well as he did it. And for this year's Big Ten Villain of the Year, your nominees are Doug McDaniel, absolute villain to the team GPA. You're a villain to your own locker room, dude, if they can't trust you on being at half the games. Your second nomination, and somewhat tied to the first, Michigan's admissions and educational standards. It was funny listening to Dusty May break down just like how he has to recruit within the parameters. He's like, we want those guys who meet those academic standards. Yeah, he was kind of pitter-pattering around the fact that he has some hurdles. That is a villain to the Big Ten. Because, hey, if Michigan gets some talent, maybe the Big Ten has some more competition and the Big Ten's regarded in a better light. But no, Michigan's admissions are just in the way of that. Your third nomination was Peyton Sanford. Again, he was my favorite for this award at the beginning of this season, but he didn't do enough in his time in that front position to really, you know, leave his mark as one of the all-time Big Ten villains. Hunter Dickinson, I just want him back so bad. He's such a good villain. Peyton Sanford, you let me down this season. You weren't as much of a villain as I needed you to be. Your jawing and just like beet red face is so annoying to a Hoosier fan. Actually, I only have three, and yeah, it goes to Peyton Sanford. Again, I'm giving this award begrudgingly because I really think that he could have done a lot more to be a great villain this year. Really subpar effort from Peyton. He's really like the calendar man of Big Ten villains. Lastly on that award, just obviously Terrence Shannon could not be listed here until proven either innocent or guilty. If guilty, he'd obviously have won this award, but in a far more sinister and far less playful fashion than I intend for this award to encompass. So kind of glad that that didn't have to be addressed with this one, even though I definitely addressed it just now. Two more awards for you. This one is the Five Courses of Crow Award. This goes to a just thought or take or belief I had on the 2023 to 2024 season that just was totally wrong. And your three nominees are Mbako will come and make an immediate impact to production. It took more than a while for McKenzie to really get his legs. It took him committing on the defensive end to find his comfort on the offensive end. We got there, but man, it was not as immediate as I thought it would be. And I need to just, you know, learn to temper expectations a bit for these huge, you know, renowned guys coming in. The second nomination for this is my thoughts on Braden Smith taking a leap forward. Braden Smith objectively took a leap forward this season. Absolutely a nominee for my Five Courses of Crow. And the third nominee and my winner for this season's Five Courses of Crow Award. That's Xavier. My thoughts that Xavier Johnson and Trey Galloway would be the most defensively competent backcourt in the conference. Crazy Man at his height of defensive prowess was a force to be reckoned with. He caused fits for opposing backcourts. And when Xavier Johnson was healthy, when he had his legs, like he was right up there giving them the business with him. And I really thought that the experience that they had playing in this conference was going to pay off dividends for the Indiana backcourt defensively. I knew that, you know, it wasn't all there offensively, but I can take that if they are bringing the, like, top backcourt defense in this conference, and they just did not. They just were not able to find that at all. Our perimeter defense was abhorrent to start the year. And yeah, that's my winner for this season's Five Courses of Crow Award. The last award on the Often Daunted Daunties for 2024 is the Indiana Moment of the Year. This year's nominees for Indiana Moment of the Year is Indiana's comeback in Columbus and Leal's 6 points to close that one out. Then there was Malik Renew's 25-point game against North Alabama. And my third nomination was just not losing to Penn State, because damn, that felt really good just not losing to Penn State. It took Anthony Leal finding the rebound and getting the ball back up to secure the victory, but a moment of my year was not losing that game. I mean, maybe that speaks volumes to the kind of year Indiana had and the kind of success that they had as a team. But that's where we're at. That's where we were at for this award. The Indiana Moment of the Year is going to Anthony Leal and Indiana's comeback in Columbus. You know, his 6 points, the fact he was the one to really cement that victory, cement that historic comeback at Ohio State. That was a moment for us fans. Like that was a highlight on the season, no doubt. And it's my pick for Indiana Moment of the Year. All right, that's all I have on the Daunties for this season. Thank you so much for putting up with that. And we will get you on out of here with a Indiana current event, because it's not a Hoosier history hit this week.
This is your Hoosier history hit.
This from the Washington Post It's a question that has stood the test of time, and one that fed a years-long legal battle in an Indiana city. Are tacos considered sandwiches? Shout out for my hometown, Fort Wayne, Indiana, for being the subject of this article. According to one judge in Fort Wayne, Indiana, the answer is yes. And he says burritos are sandwiches too. And the whole reason this debate came up and it needed a legal precedent to be set was because the zoning policy for a building that was coming under new ownership where they wanted to move in a taco and burrito joint into a, I think the zoning sets up for just Subways. Like it's built like, a Subway establishment when you pass it, what it looks like. This one used to be a Subway, and now I guess the zoning only allows it to be like a sandwich, made to order sandwich shop. Thanks to this ruling by Judge Craig J. Bobe, in the city of Fort Wayne, tacos and burritos are Mexican-style sandwiches. And that famous taco was free to open their establishment in the zone for sandwiches. It's so crazy that zoning is that extensive, but it is. The article goes on to say, hey, this is potentially groundbreaking. You know, this zoning ruling hypothetically opens this for like gyros, Indian wraps, and Vietnamese banh mi. Indiana, Fort Wayne especially, making headlines, you know, really setting the legal precedent. Tacos are sandwiches. I just wanted to bring that up. I thought it was a pretty funny ruling, and it hit national airwaves, this ruling, and my hometown was the subject of it. Yeah, short one for you. So, thank you all so much for tuning into the Often Daunted podcast this week. Next week, I'm going to be taking Memorial Day off. You know, I deserve a little break too. Big 100, going to sit back and relax this coming weekend and really enjoy the milestone. I appreciate all of you for, you know, giving me the fuel to get to this point and continuing to give me the fuel to keep going. It's been so much fun taking this on, and I appreciate all of you for your follows, your interactions, whatever it may be. Thank you so much for the listen. Following that Monday, I'm back at it. Once a week for you throughout this entire offseason. Stick around this summer. It might get a little silly when there isn't much to talk about. Nonetheless, hopefully it's a good time for you. Thank you so much. God bless you and yours, Hoosier fans. I hope you have a great week. I hope you have a great 2 weeks. I hope you have a great Memorial Day weekend. Take it easy. Lux et Veritas. Go Hoosiers.